If you listen to most scientists, you'll probably get the idea that evolution is a fact. Today, in Revival for a Mission, we're going to talk to one scientist that does not agree with that. Today in Revival for Mission, we are talking about evolution, creation, the Bible, and what is the truth. Pastor Wilson, you and I believe that this book, the Bible that you're holding there, is the truth. And it presents creation as something that God does in a way that only God can do in 6 literal days. And he rested on the 7th day. And most scientists will say that this is at best a fable, you know, at worst, a way to manipulate the masses. Later on, we're going to talk to a scientist that disagrees completely with that. How have you encountered this tension?
Well, you can encounter it, I suppose, in many aspects. Certainly, public communication, in television programs, in the way people respond to things in a professional way. Many times, it is based on the presupposition that evolution is a fact. Certainly, in education, young people face this all the time in terms of certain scientific classes and all of that. So it becomes a challenge for people who will accept the first 11 chapters of Genesis as real historic chapters and not just symbolism. It presents a challenge for them to be able to explain to people and share their faith that, yes, I believe that God created us in his image. And what it says is absolutely factual. And it's an amazing thing that a person's life can be a great testimony to what biblical truth actually says. Even though you may not be able to prove every point scientifically, it comes across because of the faith you have in what God is doing for you as a living being. It's foundational to our faith to understand God is the creator, where we have been and where we're going. And actually, the Lord will help us to understand that in a very positive way as we share with others. And before we get into our topic, listen to this music that will bring encouragement to your heart.
Welcome back. You're watching Revival for Mission. Today, our guest is Dr. Tim Standage. He is a biologist, a scientist, and he believes that creation is more of a reality than evolution. Dr. Tim, how is that even possible?
Well, actually, it's quite easy. As a biologist, everywhere that I look, what I see is design. It's not that I can explain everything, nobody can, but when you start looking at the way in which organisms are constructed, you can see that they are not a product of an evolutionary process, certainly not from the beginning. That's not to say that organisms do not have the capacity to adapt to a changing environment. But when you look at things like birds' wings or bats' wings, which are both wings, very similar functions, but quite different structures, both of them are elegantly designed for the purpose that they have. And I should tell you that most of my work has concentrated on molecular biology. Molecular biology revolves around the information that you find encoded in DNA. So if you think of each of your cells, each of them has approximately 2 meters worth of DNA inside it. So the DNA in each of my tiny little cells is longer than I am high. And that DNA encodes information, massive amounts of information, more information than the library that I'm actually standing in, many times more information than this. And information is not something that you get from natural laws or incrementally. It is something that is a product of an intelligent cause. We only see it coming from a mind somewhere. So therefore, when it comes to the kind of science that I do, I don't have tremendous difficulty in believing that things were created. On the flip side of things, when we look at that account of creation that is given in God's word, I will admit to you that I take it by faith. Obviously, there's no other way of taking things. You have to take the testimony of historical sources. So I believe it just as much, well, actually a lot more than I believe, for example, Julius Caesar's account of his adventure in England when he went over there and had a little bit of a scuffle with the Britons who were living there at the time. So when it comes to history, we tend to take the word of historical sources over other things. I believe that the Bible is a historical source, so therefore it is reasonable to believe it. And then what that creation account does is it prepares me to see nature in what I consider to be an extremely productive way.
Let me ask you a question, Dr. Standage, because you are a very credible scientist. You're a research scientist. You also do a lot of public speaking. In fact, you're one of the foremost in proclaiming your faith in God's word, as well as being a practicing scientist. I'm going to ask you a question that's not necessarily a scientific question, but it's more to do with an aspect of probably psychology and also perception. Why is it that it is so difficult for those who are embedded in a particular way of thinking, let's say evolution, to not accept at least the premise of some of the very viable things you've just explained to us in terms of being able to look at created things and realize there must be a designer who is involved in this or has been involved. How can a student who's in a classroom, how can a church member who believes in Scripture but is confronted with this in their workplace or wherever it might be, how can they somehow share their experience with those who seem so resistant to even what seems to us to be a rather reasonable, credible explanation as you've been giving?
I'd break down your question into two parts. The first has to do with motivation. And of course, none of us are mind readers. So it's a little bit hard to evaluate the motivation that other people have when it comes to these things. So I want to be careful about that, but I can suggest some reasons why people might be highly motivated. You know, sometimes it's just a matter of what's socially acceptable. People have a tendency to conform to whatever's being shouted the loudest around them. And why would you go against the flow? So the flow at this particular point in history looks like it's going in the direction of this sort of materialistic Darwinian view. And if you believe something else, you will be told that you are ignorant, that you're unintelligent, your character will sometimes be attacked. I know because this has happened to me. So there are those kind of social pressures. There are also some theological questions that people really struggle with. One of them has to do with fear of what happens after you die. So Charles Darwin himself talked about this doctrine of people burning in hell forever, for example, and how he, as by the way, a trained theologian, he wasn't like he went to school and did science. He studied religion, actually. He was deeply disturbed by the idea of an eternal burning hell that at the time he wrote about it, his father, his brother, and many of his friends were burning in. So, yeah, you know, if you embrace what I consider to be a false theology, it can give you a big incentive to believe another falsehood. The Bible, this is why understanding the Bible and what it really teaches about judgment and death is such a valuable thing.
A lot of people that are watching this might be thinking, hold on a minute, an eternal hell is not in the Bible? I've always been taught this. If you have that question, why don't you visit our website, revivalformission.tv. There you can find and contact us. We'll help you to understand the Bible so that you can see that a God who loves will not keep any of his creatures burning forever. In fact, the Bible does not teach that, and that's what Dr. Tim is referring to. So please, go ahead, Dr. Tim. I just wanted to add that in for those that might not be familiar with what the Bible really says.
Yeah, thank you for doing that because, you know, I'm a scientist. I don't try to pass myself off as a theologian. But there are many theologians, and by the way, from a number of different religious traditions, who are looking at this and saying, actually, that is clearly not what the Bible is teaching. So anyway, moving on to the second part of your question, which really has to do with how can I witness to somebody who embraces this materialistic view that denies the role of God in the creation? It's a difficult question because what we have a tendency to do or look for is some kind of silver bullet, you know, that almost magical thing that will slay our opponent and then we will triumph in some kind of argument. But as Christians, we are not looking to win an argument. We're looking to open minds to the reality that is all around us, the beauty of the creation, the glory of the gospel. And so really what I see as being most effective in reaching other people is the testimony of our own experience. That is what the apostles went out after Jesus rose again and went to heaven. The apostles went out to all the world, and what they delivered was their witness. Therefore, again, in my opinion, the best thing to do, the very, very, very best thing to do is to seek to know and do God's will in your own life. Be a loving person. Let people see the power of God revealed in you. That means that if you are a mother who is concerned because your child has been led astray, obviously you want to have reasonable arguments that you can present to that child. But the most powerful argument will always be your love for them. And Christ, the only way that a person who has left Christ can see Christ is through you and your life. A second thing that I would say is never try to have debates or discussions are outside what you actually know about. So if you want to talk about these things, I'm not saying go off and get a PhD in some science, but make sure that you do actually know what you're talking about. Let's say you're a computer scientist. Go and take a look at DNA and then talk a little bit about how what you see in DNA is analogous to what you see in computer programs, or the information processing system that is in fact the cells that all living things are made out of. So, if you go and you try to argue with somebody else who is an expert in an area, in that area, they will easily walk all over you. I know because I've certainly had no difficulty doing it myself. And it's not necessarily something I'm proud of. It's just an easy thing to do. You can almost do it by accident. Wow. So those two pieces of advice are what I would give. Number one, make sure that you're right with Christ. Make sure that you are living to the best of your ability, a Christ-like life, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you, number one. And number two, talk about what you actually know about. And it might be Jesus Christ changed my life. That's something that is not something that can be argued with. It is your testimony.
There is a project that the Seventh-day Adventist Church has all over the world. It happens every year. It's a reminder of the creation story. And you are very passionate about this project. You are wearing the T-shirt. It's called Creation Sabbath. How is this a reminder? And very briefly, how can it help us to remember the Creator?
Creation Sabbath is the fourth Sabbath of every October. And it's an opportunity for all of us to simply celebrate creation. I actually encourage people not to turn it into yet another argument about creation and evolution. It's an opportunity to just step back and appreciate how beautiful, how wonderful the creation is, to celebrate the fact that the creation is beautiful evidence of God's grace in our lives. None of us did anything to be created in the first place. And yet here we are. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, every single human being. And, the Bible talks about how God knit us together in our mother's womb. All of these beautiful indications of God's intimate involvement with our own development, our own creation. And we did nothing for that. We did nothing for it. It is all God's grace. It certainly makes it a lot easier for me, even though I don't claim to understand God's grace in, you know, dying to save me from my sins. I mean, that's just sort of incomprehensibly wonderful. At least I can get some sort of insight, some sort of assurance from just stepping back and taking a Sabbath to remember that God created a very good creation. It's something worth celebrating. It's not something that should be complicated. There are fabulous resources, if anyone would like to see them, at the Creation Sabbath website, which happens to be on my T-shirt. Let's see here. Where is it? There it is. CreationSabbath.org is the URL to go to. It's something that I think all Christians can celebrate together, not just people, obviously, of my own denomination, but all Christians would be more than welcome to do that.
In a few moments, we're going to ask Dr. Tim Standish some more questions, but in the meantime, don't go away. Welcome back to Revival for Mission. Today we're talking to a real scientist, and we have some more questions for him.
Dr. Standish, your explanations are really very practical and helpful, and we're very grateful for that. But let me just share something from Scripture, and I know that as a believer, you have an opinion on this. In the very first chapter of Genesis, it says in verse 31, the last verse, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." So he made it, and he said it was good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, in the second chapter, it goes on to talk about the seventh day, which is the seventh day Sabbath, which is why we even celebrate creation, because he created, and he created the seventh day. But this verse in 31, chapter 1, he saw that everything that he had made was very good. From a scientific standpoint, how do you share that with those who perhaps are not of the same mind?
Yeah, it's an excellent question, because obviously there's something wrong with the creation. We see all sorts of suffering and death and these sorts of things. And it's a big thing, the problem of evil. Where did it come from, and so on. And obviously, what we're looking at is not the earth as it came from the hand of God there on that sixth day. So what do we do about that? One of the things that I frequently talk about is the fact that the life itself cannot function if we're just talking about struggle and survival and death, natural selection, those sorts of things. Organisms are obviously not in a struggle to the death with one another. Bees are not in a struggle to the death with the flowers that they pollinate. The flower benefits the bee by giving it nectar, and the bee benefits the flower by carrying its pollen to the next flower. This business of cooperation is ubiquitous in nature. Just this past week, I saw an article about bacteria. As they're dying, they start making chemicals and sending them out to warn the other bacteria. Hey, there's something wrong here. Go somewhere else. Do something different. It's this cooperation that allows them to survive, even in a world where things are imperfect. So there is beautiful cooperation. to me, it mirrors the idea that Christ himself had of his church being like the vine and us, the branches, being connected with him. All of life is connected. All of life actually must cooperate with one another to survive.
Dr. Tim Standage, thank you so much for joining us in Revival for Mission. Pastor Wilson, why don't you share some thoughts from the Word of God?
Well, what a blessing it's been to have Dr. Standage with us, an eminent scientist and someone who's a believer, someone who accepts God as the creator and the one who can recreate in our lives a new heart, someone who can give us something to look forward to, a hope for the future. You see, perhaps those of you who are watching, there may be some who are unsure as to how did we get here, why are we here, and where are we going? And as we understand this beautiful relationship that we have with a Creator who can change our hearts and make us more and more like the Lord and eventually take us home to be with Him, we understand those wonderful questions. Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? In the book of Psalms and Psalm 148, we read, "Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights." And then verse 4, "Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens." And verse 5, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created." I believe in a creator God. And as you study God's word, you can have that beautiful faith and understanding of God as our creator. We'll see you next time on Revival for Mission.